Everyone, hello everybody, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. How are you doing?
My name is Cheryl Catherine.
And I'm Ash Riot.
Actually, that was backwards, but hello.
Hello everyone, happy holidays. Everybody's probably getting ready now for New Year's.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
It feels
New Year's
weird.
Eve. We were just talking to Dawn and talking about our holiday season. We're very busy. We had a busy holiday season. We had a lot of work. Did a lot of work.
We worked every... Well,
that was good.
That was really busy.
Very busy. Very busy. And had lots of holiday revelry, lots of dinners. And I can't believe how much food there was available.
It was a gift.
Think about it.
It was a gift. But what was your favorite thing you had over Christmas holidays?
Oh, my God. I can't say one thing. I mean, I'm a big turkey fan. I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian. So, I do like turkey, and I do like gravy.
Well, I'm stopping you right here to tell you that my favorite thing is in your freezer right now. It's a Yule log. My mom brought it to your house.
I know. I actually saw it today when I was getting ready to come here. I was going through my fridge and clearing it out.
I'd seriously pay you $30 for a leftover Yule log.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
For one piece?
No, for the whole thing.
Well, I don't know. Now I can actually hold that Yule log ransom since it was left in my freezer.
It is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Well, that's my favorite thing. Yule log and mashed potatoes.
There you go. They make a really good meal together, too.
They might.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of Yule log with a bit of gravy.
Ew.
All right, we are here live. We haven't been. I was looking through the BBS site and going through it and looking at the radio shows that we've done the last while. We haven't been going live for a while. We've been having, I had my birthday. We missed it.
We did last show.
We
though.
Had some, I know we did, but before that, there was probably like 3 or 4 shows that we were running reruns. So
actually,
it's really cool to be.
Two.
No, more than, more, no.
You're probably right then.
No, I am.
Well, hello, friend.
Because I was looking at, I'm going, oh my goodness, we sure did a lot of reruns. We had a lot of things happening.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is our second live show in a long time. So I'm excited to be live. We've tweeted it. We have Facebooked it. And we're hoping that you're tuning in to not only listen, but also call in if you feel compelled. It's no big deal. Talk on the radio.
What? I have to say something right now.
After she puts a lifesaver in her mouth.
This is about the lifesaver. Okay, so lifesavers are my favorite candy, okay? But I have something
after
important.
After Yule logs.
Mm-hmm. I have something really important to say. Lifesavers, for the past maybe, 8 years or so, have replaced the lime lifesavers with watermelon. I loathe that they did that. So I got a bag of lifesavers just now. And it's lime. They went back to lime.
So are you happy?
Yes.
So you're ecstatic?
Yes.
Is this your 2013
yes.
revelry, revelation,
yes.
jubilation?
Yes, it is.
Exultation?
Lime lifesavers were my favorite. And I wasn't even
going
to open this one thinking I don't want melon. And I just tasted it and it's lime.
See, one person's jubilation revelation is another person's downfall because personally I prefer watermelon to lime. So there you go.
Yeah, but you haven't tried this. It's so good.
Well, we haven't even introduced our show. Our show tonight is a very interesting show. What's it called? Do you remember? Do you want me to say it?
Yeah, we survived. So what? Or
we survived December 21st, 2012. Dot, dot, dot. So now what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? A lot of doomsdayists were saying that the 21st of December 2012 at 11:11 was going to be the end of the world because the Mayan calendar ended. But what most people didn't realize, it wasn't the Mayan calendar actually ending, it was the ending of a cycle. And the Mayans divided, I did some research because I thought the Mayan calendar was pretty interesting pertaining to the show. And the Mayans divided their calendars in three different ways. And the way we're going to talk about is the 5,200-year cycle, which ended December 21st, 2012 at 11:11 UTC, Universal Time, and got us back into the next cycle, which is called the long count cycle, so for the next 5,200 years. So what this means actually is we are entering into a new beginning, a 5,200-year cycle. So wow. It's pretty exciting because I'm going to look at they called the last cycle that we're in the Great Cycle. It concluded. And now we're going into the Greater Cycle. That's my take on it.
The one of betterment. Well, it's so weird because so many people, like, I've actually talked to them, and even one of my students was obsessed with the world ending.
Really?
Yeah.
How old was this student?
He is. He's not dead. I think he's 9.
Oh, what a horrible thing for a little kid to be thinking that his world is going to be ending.
Yeah. And he wasn't scared. He was just intrigued.
Well, I had, you know, you have some wonderful, beautiful, lovely relatives, and I got to speaking to one of them over the Christmas holidays, and this gentleman asked me what I thought we would be stepping into after December 21st, 2012, 11:11. What were we getting ourselves into? What is this next cycle? And that's what we're going to talk about for this radio show. You didn't even know we were going to talk about this on the radio show, so I thought that was quite fitting that he actually was preparing me by asking that just inadvertently.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm like thinking in my head, and then I just got it. But yeah, I mean, there's so many people I want to say, like, to start off the show, that will not agree with anything we say because we're far out.
We're so far out. We're past the universe.
But like, even if there's one thing that resonates, it doesn't. It's okay that if just even one thing resonates that we say, and that's great to even have one common bond between people. And so I've noticed even like around the holidays and like seeing so many family members that I haven't seen in a long time. And it doesn't always have to be hit and miss. It can just be one point that can unify people. So,
well, yeah. And I mean, far out, I don't think, I mean, you know, the thing that each of us, I think it's important for all of us to do this because this is a part of growth. And this is what I learned. I learned that a way of expansion and getting out of our ditch, our ruts that we kind of, sometimes we get put in our ruts by our conditioning, the way we were raised, what we were told, what we were taught. And we forget when we become adults that we can actually get out of the ditch. We can form our own ways of thinking, our own belief systems. But sometimes it takes a bit of work to actually almost deprogram ourselves. And one of the suggestions given to me when I was on my road to becoming, I guess, more aware, let's just say, was, first of all, start with honesty. Secondly, be open-minded. And finally, be very willing.
Yeah.
And I think
really
I think they're vitally important for any of us because I think open-mindedness especially. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, willingness is important because if you want change in your life or you want expansion or you want to go outside and go and, you know, come to the far out land where we are and many others.
Come and join us. It's
fine. It's still reality. I mean, it's far out, but I'm thinking about how many years ago where I was in terms of what I believed and what I believed to be possible. And how many years later am I seeing that even what I thought was possible, I've been blown away and gone into things that were, beyond my wildest imaginings, goes well into the impossibility that is actually possible. So if you understood what I just said, you probably are living the life that I'm living right now. Well, it's, you know, being open-minded means being courageous in a sense, because being open-minded is letting go of anything that doesn't serve, anything that even if we were taught and we hold true, because I'm going to say my faith, I held my faith really tight to my chest, and I was extremely angry and agitated if someone ever questioned my faith. It made me very uncomfortable. It made me very nervous, and it caused me a great degree of fright to be challenged. And now on the other side of it, when I've actually been able to let go of my faith for a greater, an even greater faith, I see, there's so much freedom, because before there was just so many constraints. You want to tell people the number, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, everyone, I would like to tell you that the number is 888-627-6008. Please call in. It's going to be awesome.
What are
awesome.
You reading from?
Right there.
Oh!
888-627-6008. Call in. Call into the show, and you'll get a free MP3 of one of our songs, because we just roll that way. We are nice people. And we want to give you gifts, considering it was the end of the world and we are still here. Now what?
So now what? So getting back to what I was asked, what do I see? And what I, the way I answered it, maybe anybody out there can lend more insight here by calling in and talking to us about what your thoughts are. But what I said basically is what I see in a nutshell, one sentence. We're going from me to we. And that's pretty much says it all. It's the end of the show. See you later.
That's pretty much the whole everything of it.
Well, we're, you know, we've been such so focused on self. And of course, you know, you think about how we were thousands of years ago. It was self-preservation and, you know, survival of the fittest and on and on. And now we've, you know, gotten to be quite advanced in some ways, not spiritually, I would say, quite confidently, but definitely advanced in terms of our technology and the ways that we've decided to live and how we, you know, get our food and keep ourselves from starving and from getting cold. You know, we've built really great, you have a cold. We have really great shelters we've learned how to build. You know, we don't live in caves anymore.
We
some of us
really
do.
Really nice guitars.
Yeah.
Dog clothes.
Some of us have dog clothes. And some of us can't fit them. But
Martha Stewart dog clothes.
Yeah, well, that would be Travis. He's the spoiled guy this Christmas.
He got a tuxedo and an elf costume and his picture taken with Santa.
And a reindeer outfit.
Yeah, and a reindeer outfit from our good friend Leanne.
Yeah, hey, Leanne, if you're out there, call us. Let us know what you think about what's going to be happening in this new 5,200-year cycle. How exciting it is for us to be at the beginning of it and the end of another, because not many people live 5,200 years. Not yet.
Not many.
Who knows?
Maybe half a dozen.
I'm not even going to say anything's impossible, because I've just been proven wrong so many times. I'm not even worried about what's possible or impossible. I just believe basically that all things are possible. So yeah. Chat, tell the people what you think. I said we're going from me to we. What do you think?
Well, I think that there's like, I read somewhere on Facebook today, and it was a status, and I would like to say that it was one of the things that really kind of geared me up for this show. And that was, I think it was my friend Nikki on Facebook, and her status was, count your blessings, not your problems. And that made me think about all this, because so many people were gearing up towards, like, the end of something. Some it was the end of the world, some it was the end of just a cycle. And at kind of the end of something, anything, even if it's a relationship, if it's a friendship, if it's something, even though there could be problems, it's important to count, I'm not just going to say the blessings, but the important things, the things that made it worthwhile. And because obviously it was just an end of a cycle that many people can't feel, but or see. Some can feel it. Maybe even some can see it. But most often, no. It's just a number to some people. You know, we're past 2012 almost. But I think that if we come into the next cycle here with a better attitude like that, counting the blessings, not the problems, that was big for me. Because I really think that sometimes I can get caught up in that. And it doesn't give me enough freedom to enjoy the good.
You're not the only one who gets caught up in focusing on the negative. They've done studies where, you know, even in sales, I've taken sales training in the past, and one of them, the things that I recall is, you know, you can do 10 things right, but if you do one thing wrong, mm-hmm. people focus on the one thing you did wrong, which is unfortunate because yeah. 10 things right is a lot better than one thing wrong.
Yeah.
But I think that's still part of the shift, is we're going to get into gratitude. You know, it's already started. The shift already began before. It wasn't like this one day and this one exact time, 11:11, that things snapped and changed. It's something that we've all been just getting ready for, whether we want to or not. It's inevitable because universal laws, it doesn't matter how much we resist them, or even if we tell them they're wrong or we want to change them, they are exactly as they are, and we're all a part of it, and we all are energetically connected. And so the energy, when it's shifting and moving and altering, even if we resist it, it's not going to mean that we don't become part of it in some way. Mm-hmm. You know that saying, what you resist persists?
Yeah.
And this is another thing, is about just being able to be okay with the flow of change. And there's been a lot of change. 2012 for me, huge changes. The last couple of years, my life has been basically turned upside down in ways that I never would have even imagined. I never imagined myself to be where I am today at all. I never would sit. You know how there's the manifestation and the secret and all that, and you can just, you know, imagine it, dream it, and you can create it. I do believe in the power of thought. But I also think that there's a greater designer, because there are things in my life now that I didn't even fathom. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even have imagined it. And so I didn't bring it to be because of my thoughts.
Yeah, there you
not
go.
Not directly.
That's a big one.
So there is a designer. And there is something which I truly believe is fate mm-hmm. for each of us. And there's a whole argument about, well, if you have free will, and if there's such a thing as fate, then how do the two coexist? We could have another show about that. And I do believe they can coexist. Mm-hmm. And free will is something that gives us freedom, right? Because there's nothing or no one saying this is exactly how we have to live our lives, because we are here as individuals having an individual experience.
Yeah.
But as a collective whole, mm-hmm. each affecting the other.
Yeah.
So I'm just talking about my life, and if I resisted the change, and it's not that it's been easy. Some things have been hard. Some things have been painful. Some things have been exhilarating. Some things have been easy and have just come and just flowed. And so it all comes together. But if I had been left to my own highest imaginings, there's no way I would be here right now. So I know that there's some kind of a designer. Mm-hmm. I know there's some kind of a fate in my life.
Yeah.
Why I'm here, what I'm doing, what I'm going to do, even who I am. So I find it quite fascinating and exciting. I think most of us have times in our lives where we're scared to death to live. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't share it. We just feel it. We lost somebody dear to us on December 17th, and it was sudden, and I believe it was in a moment of not remembering,
mm-hmm. yeah,
not remembering.
That must be.
And it's sad when we lose the physical presence of someone in this plane, because when we're in the physical world, we relate to each other on a physical level. Mm-hmm. Now, those of us who are really in tune with our sixth sensory abilities, and there's a lot of you out there, I know you are, because, you know, I was thinking about this too, about our senses. You know how most of us, we've only kind of bought into five senses, mm-hmm. and the sixth sensory world is kind of the woo-woo world, mm-hmm. and it's almost shamed. And it has been for centuries, you know, in a way that, oh, what a lovely imagination little Billy has, right? Meanwhile, the sixth sense is just as important as all the other five senses. And this is another thing that I really, truly believe that we're all stepping into in this new cycle, mm-hmm. is that we're welcoming the sixth sense mm-hmm. just as much and putting it on an equal plane and platform as the other five.
I think that's a really important thing that is already happening in 2013. I really feel like it's already, like, it's starting to come, so it's going to be ready for when tomorrow hits, because I know that sounds kind of mumbo-jumbo a little bit, but there's already, like, a bigger interest in mediumship, in, you know, just, I'll just say the extrasensories.
The extrasensories.
Mm-hmm.
What? So intuition.
Intuition.
Psychic ability. Mm-hmm. Prophetic ability. Able mm-hmm. to, the ability to prophesy, to see the future.
The acceptance of all that is what's going to help things move along a lot better.
Well, I believe because time, I don't believe time is on a flat line. I believe that time, it's not linear, it's stacked. And so this is why it's easier when you tap into that sixth sensory ability, which we all have. And I keep saying that because a lot of people will go to those of us who are more in touch with our abilities and ask questions. And the main thing that I want everyone to understand, that even if I'm giving a reading to you, or Ash is giving you a reading, or connecting you to someone who you love and who's passed and who's standing right beside you, and you're not connecting to them because you've forgotten, or you haven't, it's like a muscle, you haven't really worked on developing that sixth sensory ability, but you can. I think even though you go to others that have a natural ability or have maybe just accepted it and worked on that sixth sense, and so therefore they're more accessible to the sixth sensory world, I think it's really important that you recognize that you too have the ability, and that I believe that all people, mediums, psychics, whatever you want to call a person, a high intuitive, when you go to these people, I think that these people, part of their jobs to spirit and service to spirit is to remind you that you too can do this, because you already have it. You have it with your intuition. You have it with gut instinct, whatever you call it. It's there. It's just about developing it, because each of us has a language in our sixth sense, mm-hmm. right?
And so even the way kind of people can contact people on the other side, it's done with different symbols. It's done with different...
Well, you mean when they're just relaying an mm-hmm. idea. Okay, so let's give ourselves as an example.
Okay.
Because for those of you, a lot of people I've been talking to have been watching Teresa Long Island Medium. She's so cool. Love you, Teresa. Teresa Caputo.
She's funny.
She's great. Now, the way that Teresa sees and contacts, let's use mediumship because that's what she does. She's a medium. The way that she does it is she doesn't see the people. She sees shapes, like darker shapes. So she knows they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And she is shown, and she hears. She's shown things, and she hears things from them, and she relays it to the people and blows them away, because they go, how do you know my mother collected buttons? She goes, I don't know. She's telling me, right? So that offers confirmation. Now, for me, I see. I can see them. I don't just, it's not just shades or colors. I
can
see
be
them.
Sometimes even for me, but mostly it's
well,
people.
Well, that would be people just kind of flying by.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be really rapid.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But when they're actually wanting to be known and want to relay something, I see them. And oftentimes you'll see them in, people pick a period of that they, this is what I was told by someone on the other side actually. When the way they present themselves to you is normally when the way that they, for example, someone dies and they're 90 years old, but they present themselves as they're in their 30s. And the reason that is because that was when they were happiest.
Yeah.
Most people present themselves in their life cycle when they were the happiest, when they were the most content. And that's how they present themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, I know a lot of people who can see people who have departed. I'm not unique. Ash isn't unique. We just have unique ways. The reason why we're sharing this with you is we have, bless you, Travis. We have unique ways, like Travis sneezes.
He was so cute, too.
His unique eyes, ways of seeing.
His eyes started to water, and then he sneezed. He was so cute.
That was another thing someone told me once, too, is that if you have a sneezing fit, spirit's around. You can see orbs in photographs. I also can smell.
Yeah.
So then
you have a really strong sense of smell.
Yeah. So I will know that someone's there even before I see them because I can smell. So there's certain smells that are very distinct and particular to an individual, and you'll know it's them.
Mm-hmm.
I've smelt cigarettes. I've smelt booze. I've smelt floral scents. I've smelt pot. I've had all sorts of different smells come to me because, and it's not because someone's smoking pot outside, it's because the person presents themselves to me and I know who they are by the smell.
Yeah, that's true. That's cool.
And I won't tell you who it is. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's just sort of a connection to their life.
Yeah.
And being able to see. Now, you know how it speaks of we all have different gifts, and some of us have great senses of humor, and some of us are extremely brilliant and smart and can design a building. Some of us are extremely creative. Some of us know how to bake really well. Some of us know how to plant a tree and make it grow.
I suck at gardens.
So the reason why I'm bringing all of this is that we each have gifts, and some of us are better at certain things than others. And even in the sixth sensory world, you're going to find that there'll be some things that are stronger for you than others. For example, I have eyesight. That's one of my five senses. But I also have myopia, so I cannot see far away unless I have glasses.
What's a myopia?
Nearsightedness, my dear.
That's what they call it?
Yes.
Well, I can't see things far away.
Myopia.
Wow. I don't look smart right now.
But my point in bringing this up is that I have sight, but it's not perfect. Whereas some of you out there are 20/20 or 20/15, and you don't need glasses. So you have better eyesight than I do. Some of you hear better than I do. Some of you don't hear as well as I do. So my point is this, is that we each have six senses, and we all are going to find our comfort level. Why is he sneezing so much?
I have no idea. I'm not even touching him.
No, don't do that.
He's lifting his teeth at me.
I'm bringing him close to the, you might even hear him sneeze. Travis is here. This is our rescue dog from Orange County, California. Say hi, Travis. Hello, everybody. See, Travis speaks.
No, he talks like this. I love everybody.
He's wearing a skull sweater because he's cool and he's a little bit of a punk dog. My mother couldn't stand it. She's saying, why do you put a skull sweater on your doggie?
Oh, I was wondering what your mom thought of it. I never asked her.
Like it. My mom's very beautiful and proper. But anyway, he was sneezing away, so.
Yeah. We had to see what was up with him.
Are you okay?
It's spirit.
So if any of you want to call in. Your phone numbers are at the bottom of the screen if you're looking at your, or at the middle of your screen, depending on where you have your little mouse set.
But that number is 888-627-6008. Call in. Give us a piece of your mind, and we'll give you a free song. That was good. I could have totally been on the radio. AIM.
I think you should do a little blurb and just we'll insert it.
We'll insert it.
We'll insert the blurb. Yeah, so that's another thing, you know, talking about stepping into 2013 past December 21st, 2012, I strongly, strongly do believe that we're going to be, each of us, getting more and more in touch with our sixth sense, and it will be accepted. I can even see the sixth sense being a part of our educational system, right? And maybe in 100 years, someone will look back to this tape and go, wow, Cheryl, I don't know how she knew.
They kind of knew some shiznit there.
But yes, that the sixth sense will be relied upon just as much as all the other five.
Well, I feel it. Actually, you know what I was going to say? That's definitely something really important, because my friend, he left something up on my phone. And so I was having a bath, and I looked at my phone, and I read it, so I was like, huh, what's this? And so on behalf of my friend, he's a really awesome dude, and he really, really is a fan of Nicholas Schreck. He was in a band called Radio Werewolf, and his whole band was about awareness, and they accused them of being Nazis and a whole bunch of stuff like that, and what they were really about was a shift. That's what their whole purpose was. And so anyway, I was reading it, and one thing that he was saying is that he was talking about basically there being a wiping out of not so much people, but just a certain consciousness that has to completely shift and change, because there's so many people in the world that don't even like deserve the goodness. Like, they have to change their ways, change their mindsets, and that's basically just, I think, what we're going to start going into now. It's not a complete wiping out of the human race. It's a complete change of something. And I really want to say that that's foreshadowing, and I bet he's right. Like, things are going to change more than we think they can change.
Well, I was using my life as an example. Mm-hmm. Things have changed in ways I could not even in my highest, wildest imagination.
Yeah.
Have imagined. So
yeah.
If I can open myself up to the impossible and see the impossible as possible, then it's something that each of us need to be open to.
We're going to collectively catch this virus of love.
Well, I do think that love is truly the answer. I do. I'm not the only one who said that. I mean, we've been saying that for centuries, poets and, mm-hmm. you know, even Socrates and Plato, and everyone
yeah.
talked about, you know, this condition of it. You think about, I'm watching how Wall Street crashed in 2008. I was watching a documentary that Matt Damon, I can't remember the name of it. Anyways, Matt Damon narrated it. Fabulous. Like, I'm learning, you know, it's all about greed.
Mm-hmm.
And if people who had the bulk of the money and who were actually being greedy and taking people's money and just squandering it for their own lifestyles, if they actually had love and connection to those
mm-hmm.
that they were taking from, they wouldn't do it.
Exactly.
All right, we have Leanne from Delta on line 3. Hey, Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
Hey, ladies, how's it going?
Good.
Good to hear from you. It's your first time calling in to the Hologram Radio Show.
You guys are too cool. Hey. You said about counting your blessings. So 1, 2, and 3 right there.
1, 2, and 3?
That includes Travis.
Aww. You are our blessing.
Thank you so much. You're very sweet. I know Leanne, we both know Leanne quite well, and Leanne's an amazing woman who has a lot of insight. And perhaps you can share with our listeners something to do with what you feel is going to be changing getting into 2013.
Well, that's a really big question.
I know.
What do I see? I think, you know, some of the things that have been shared with me through different teachers that I am really keeping my eyes open for and seeing more all the time are a lot of the politics in the world that are changing, and that mm-hmm. the young people are coming up and standing up against their governments, and it's pretty cool stuff. Very exciting.
That's really true, actually, because Cheryl and I were even talking about the women in India right now, and all of the kind of jargon that's going on there, the just absolute ridiculous abuse
of women
of
in
women,
India.
And they're standing up.
Yeah.
Well, because of that,
it's just a me.
Hello.
Sorry.
That's okay. I was just going to say, as a result of that, that one young woman who was raped and brutally abused and ended up passing away, the 23-year-old, and now, you know, India has been known for their violence and their crimes against women, but not much has been done. It's been the last, I don't know, 20 years, it's been, you know, talked about and whatnot. But now, you're right, it's the people saying no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Cheryl, I'm not a big fan of CNN, however, it's CNN, right? However, they have a really amazing show at the end of the year, and it's the CNN Heroes. And there was an amazing woman. She actually won the top honors on that program for the work she is doing in India. And it's just freaking amazing what goes on, where people have very, very simple ideas. It's just compassion and caring. They don't even have any money, and they come forward and do these amazing things in the world. So it's pretty, you know, hello?
Hi, we're here.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting weird sounds. It's pretty amazing, and it just...
Hello, Leanne.
Hi, sorry. I'm getting these pauses and stuff. I haven't talked on a radio show before, so I don't know what I'm doing here. But anyway, so yeah, there are pretty heartfelt things there, so certainly watch that. But I did have a question for you ladies, and that is, what is your insight with regard to the veil and the raising of the veil?
Well, wow. Cheryl, you could get Cheryl going.
Wow. Well, as far as I see and understand, one of the greatest fears that most of us have while we're living here is our fear of death. And one of the, let's say, salves that has been offered to us as a form of what I see as control, but not seen as such, would be religion, that tells us that if we behave a certain way, then we are going to get our rewards in heaven. And I think that model doesn't work very well for several reasons, and one of them is because it would mean that we don't truly live our lives while we're here, because most of our lives would then be living in fear and control, in terms of we would be controlling our actions, and we would be constantly questioning ourselves, and we would mostly be living in guilt if we don't conform to these certain rules and dictates as to how we should behave so that we can get to this eventual heaven, which happens after we die. The veil to me is that which is between us and the death, the other side. Is this what you're speaking of, the veil between life and after we pass?
Yes.
So, first of all, I do truly believe that part of our new shift and our awareness will be, a letting go of religion and a letting go of certain philosophies, and an embracing of ourselves and understanding that we truly can be trusted, that we will not run amok, nor will we kill each other if we don't have any specific religion or rule to govern us, to stop us from killing each other. And so once we kind of let go of that, then we have the whole idea of, well, what happens when I die, or do I just focus on my moment? Joseph Campbell talks about eternity is in our moments, which is very true. If we are constantly and consistently in our moments, mm-hmm. eternity is ours always.
That's true.
As far as death goes, what I see happening, and I think for all of us, is with this letting go of religious ideas and dictates that sort of tell us and govern us how we should behave so that we don't go to this horrible place called hell. And once we get away from the fear kind of based thinking around death, we will recognize and celebrate it as merely being a transition. And what's already happening now, and I know this for a fact because this is my life experience and part of the impossibilities that I was speaking of, is that the veil is already being lifted. And if you look at a room, right? You look at an 8-foot room from floor to ceiling. I'd say right now the veil is probably a good 2.5 feet off the ground. And that's what
oh,
I
cool.
see. Yeah, and it's lifting. It's not, it's like a constant kind of turning. So it's always moving. It's not sort of lifting then stop, lifting then stop. And what this means is that we will recognize, like Saint Germain, if you know about Saint Germain, Saint Germain has been documented throughout the 1600s, seen in France, and then he was earlier than that, I believe, and I don't know a lot of it offhand, but my remembering is that he never aged. He was always the same age, and people were just, he went through history being the same age. What I foresee is that life will be seen for exactly that which it is, which is an experience that's meant to be had, to be in the physical world, to be able to touch a flower, to smell a flower, to be able to go into the water and feel the coolness on your skin, to be able to love and to hold, even to be able to cry and to have sorrow, to know joy. That's part of this life experience. This is why we're here. And the death experience is merely a transition to go to an exact world. Now, this may sound like I'm on the other side, but this is what I know to be true. An exact world that is our imprint, but without the death, without the poverty, without the war,
it's just like
without the hatred, without any... For example, even there is no death of animals so that we can eat them. There is no death in terms of bloodshed. It's just a world of love. And that's where we come from. And so we come into this existence so that we can have a greater experience and knowledge of how, and appreciation exactly of love and that the importance of peace. But we are definitely, the veil is being lifted, and you're going to see it's, I mean, even the fact that Teresa, the medium from Long Island, is on television and is a favorite, that's a sign. There's a lot of different signs around. People are accepting. I'm getting, you know, requests about mediumship too. People are accepting and wanting to reach out, wanting to talk to the people, you know, that they've lost.
Well, I would like to say that it's kind of like this. I mean, it totally doesn't relate, but in a way it really does relate. I was talking to my student Aliza the other day, and she was talking to me about some of like the issues for like gay people and stuff like that, and how it's so much easier. She's so glad to be growing up now. She's 17, I think, and she's so glad to be growing up now in this day and age, say even opposed to 10 years ago, because of how oppressive it used to be and how really accepted. You know, just alternative.
Well, her sexuality is her okay. Sexuality is and okay. She's celebrating it and at 17.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know what? I said, there was one person only, one, seriously, that we have to thank for that. And that was Ellen. Because in 1997, she came out and she was the first gay character on TV. And then people were like, oh my God, this is really crazy. This is really crazy. How are we gonna, you know, accept this? But as soon as she did that, and all the shit fell around her, and she came out the other side. Sure, maybe her show was canceled, whatever. She's doing a million times better than that show now. And it just goes to show you that that is a complete comparison to that, because we're ready for that. We're ready for the mediumship stuff. I mean, if that was 10 years ago, it's still not. We still wouldn't be there. But because of what Ellen did, that's great. Maybe Teresa will kind of be that way in a way for the...
But it wasn't just Teresa. They had the rescue mediums they were doing that were from...
I'm not even just
from
her.
From England, yeah.
But, I mean, we're in a point now where we can even look at history and look at, you know, compare that to, in a way, something that was faux pas back then.
Well, yeah. So a good example with Ellen is that she came out, you know, back in the day, it wasn't even okay for any actor to be gay. So look at Rock Hudson, who hid his, you know, his sexuality and got married. Same with Elton John. He got married to his manager. Everyone's hiding it because it's not okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then a woman comes out and says, you know what? I'm gay and I'm okay with it. Yes, yeah. she suffered, but she also triumphed and gave other people permission.
Oh, yeah.
To be open with their sexuality. And the same kind of goes with the psychic and the mediumship movement in a way. It's giving others permission to know their own gifts. It has nothing to do with, See, this is why in the past we've had fortune tellers, and they were sort of presented to us that they are all-knowing, all-seeing, and you're not. But what's happening now is that we are supposed to be helping each other and giving each other permission mm-hmm. to be all-knowing and all-seeing for ourselves. And so I definitely see that it's going to be, this is part of the movement
the veil's
into, lifting. It's lifting and it's part of the movement into the sixth sensory acceptance. Now, Sonia Choquette, if you know her, do you know who she is, Leanne?
I do, yes.
Now,
yeah,
she talks
I've actually
about,
done a couple of her courses.
Yeah, so Sonia's all about, you know, trust your vibe. She's all about the sixth sensory world. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who are talking about it as if it's just normal. And that's what's going to be happening
exactly.
is this is going to be normal. And I also want to say that I think in the past, spiritualism, when the when it first started back in, I think it was Virginia with those sisters, and they were hearing the knockings, and that's how the spiritualism movement started. It was in, oh, I can't remember even the time.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's what those sisters said. Didn't they live in New York?
They were somewhere in the States. I don't think it was New York, but it could have been
yeah.
somewhere outside
yeah.
of there. But anyways, that's how it all started. It was with the knocking and I hear spirits from the other side and they're knocking on the walls. And so that kind of started the spiritualism movement. It got really big in the UK and then that's where it seems to be the strongest. And I think that at the beginning it was kind of exciting. It's almost like, you know, Ford makes his first car. And we have Ford who had his first car, and now we've got what? We've got these spaceship cars, and we've got electric cars, and we've come a long way. And I think it's the same with the spiritualism movement, which is the mediumship movement, because I really think it's important that we all continue to live our lives in this physical world. It's not about distracting us. It's not about taking away from our lives. It's not about saying, you know, us, even like religion, kind of wishing our lives away so that we can get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's about allowing us and helping us to focus on being alive and not being afraid of being alive. When you know that a person that you love who's passed on is totally okay, and when you know that not only are they okay, they are continuing, and they can be around you and offer you guidance to the best of their ability, but not forgetting that you have free will, just that knowledge in
They're
and of
ghosts.
Itself, just that knowledge in and of itself is just gives comfort so that maybe it brings us less fear of death, and if we have less fear of death, we have more to live for. We can actually live. So that's what I see the veil, the reason why the veil is lifting, is it's to just help us all to live more authentically, more fully, and more freely, and not be just consumed by fear.
Right. And would you say then that self-awareness, taking responsibility for the good and bad that happens in our lives and learning our lessons, are all part of that?
Well, of course, we're talking about, it's like me talking about my eyesight versus my hearing. We're talking about a different facet of the sixth sensory world, which is mediumship, which is knowing that others continue, that our souls continue.
Mm-hmm.
Self-awareness is getting back to us being alive. It's getting back into our bodies and being very present. And yes, I mean, you've got the law of karma, which some people very, you know, believe in very highly. You know, you reap what you sow. So that would be taking personal responsibility. Everything that we would do or everything that we would, you know, every thought, every deed, all these things are energetic. A thought is as energetic as an actual physical deed. Yes, that's very imperative. But this is what I'm saying. It's all just brings us back to being in that place of being fully self-aware and being fully in our bodies and in our physical world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that make
cool.
sense?
Cool.
I think. See, we can just, that's that question about the veil lifting. I mean, we should do a continuation show about lifting the veil because we seriously
it's a big one.
It's a big one, but I mean, it's important to touch upon. So I'm glad you asked that, Leanne. You're we certainly do love you.
Yeah. It can be very confusing. There's a lot of different information out there.
Well, that's why it's important to not always go and get information. It's imperative to just be still for a lot. I used to go to a lot of seminars, and I was very much involved in learning, reading, attending. And finally, I just actually had someone who has wisdom say to me, Cheryl, why don't you just stop it for a while? And there are, and I think that's very good advice. I took it. And I just was with me. And you know, a lot of what I read, a lot of what I experienced and what I attended, you know, I integrated that which resonated and which felt that I needed to integrate. And the rest just kind of just gradually just washed away. So I think it's important for all of us to spend a lot of time even alone. And to sort of take respite from even learning. You know, it sounds really wild, but, you know, there are times where you need to just digest. Mm-hmm. Take some time. Don't go to any seminars. Don't go to anything for a while. Just be for a while.
Well, that's the best time to think is when you actually digest, when you can sit there and think and when you can go, okay, well, what have I learned and what can I... you know, processing to me is probably one of the most important things because things happen and I kind of just, okay, go, okay, what's next? What's next? No, stop. What's next?
Yeah.
Like it's process it and evaluate it before you
reflect. Yeah. Reflection is vital for all of us.
Yeah.
To spend time in reflection. I've been reading about reflection actually. And, I forgot the importance of reflection. And that's what you're speaking about, Ash. You're speaking about reflection.
Yeah. I haven't really read much, you know, like lately. But, I mean, I've watched a couple shows. Yeah.
Well, you've had a lot of experience. You've had a lot of different experiences. So,
I find that I go through times where, you know, I'll do a lot of reading and searching and finding. And then, yes, digestion is the important part. And I've had the experience of working with people who are very entrepreneurial, and they're just, okay, come on. Now you got to do this, and now you got to do that, and okay, what are the next steps, and when are you going to do this by? And I find I just dig my heels in and say, nope, I need to, you know, do this in my own time, in my own way.
And you do, especially when it comes to, you know, heart work, whatever you want to call this. This is working. It's not just the mind. It's not just about... you know, having goals and having your short-term goals and your long-term goals and having your career goals. And this is something that, again, like what I was saying earlier in the show, if I had actually kind of put myself in a box as to exactly how my life was going to go, I had an idea, I had a plan, but like John Lennon says, life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans. I had to have the open-mindedness and willingness to veer away from the plan because I felt that's where spirit was leading me. That's where my fate was leading me.
And now you're winning. Like
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
What makes you bring Charlie in? That's funny.
Not me. But winning, Charlie. And Leanne, you're winning too because you're getting free hologram songs.
Yay! Okay, ladies, I'm going to say goodnight because you're coming to the close of your show. So great show, and I'll finish listening online.
We are very sad that we have not gotten to touch. Well, I think we should do. Or maybe we're not sad. I wish we had more time to talk about even Leanne's question because it's awesome.
Well, thank you, Leanne, and thank you for being the light that you are.
Yeah, you're amazing.
Here. And a woman of integrity a woman who... you know, takes to heart that which she, you're very loving and you do recognize and respect others around you and recognize the oneness. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. It takes one to know one. That's what I said.
Thank you, Leanne. Happy New Year.
Okay, night.
See you soon.
Night, cutie pies. And Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you for your questions. Wow. So we are coming to the end of our show.
That was a good one. I think we should listen to
The Fusion. I don't know. We have to give our dear Don enough time to get The Fusion. The Fusion, we entered The Fusion in the...
yes, we need to talk about this.
In the UK Songwriting Contest, which is one of the prestigious contests. We entered it into two. I've never entered a songwriting contest in my life. And we were led and compelled to enter The Fusion and Spun Sun, the one that is on our intro, into this contest. And we were quite delighted to know that we got into the semifinals with both songs, and they both received a 7 out of 10. And coming from my perspective, I thought that was low. But after reading how they saw a 7 out of 10, it's really pretty good. They see it as that, you know, being in the semifinals was a great thing. And the fact that it's got a 7, it was higher than the average that a lot of the songs received. And so that felt great. So The Fusion is our song about love revolution. It's our song about kind of what we're talking about here, lifting the veil, stepping into a new viewpoint, meaning that each of us coming from love and remembering that. So on behalf of myself and Ash Riot and little Travis the Sneeze Dog, I'd like to say goodnight, happy new year, and blessings and blessings to all of you. We're going to leave you with The Fusion.
Okay, goodbye.
Good night. We love you.
We love you.
Kiss a tree.
Kiss one or five.
Universe encompasses me, beneath the stars above the sea. Enthralled on earth watching you, knowing I have a part in this too. Anxiously watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise. Enthralled on earth watching you, knowing we have a part in this too. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not baffled with exclusion, bring all love in for the fusion. Watch the wind blow power out, stronger than what we were of. Me, the forgotten thieves, pressed upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts be known to us, falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speaking while we're all up all night. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all. Bring our love in for the fusion. We live in a world of illusion. It serves us, yet we must come back to love. The love revolution is within each and every one of us. A knowing, a higher understanding. We all embrace it. All we have to do